I'm Rebecca Lee, and I'm the Chief Impact Officer at Open Corporates. The revelations of one of the biggest journalism investigations, the Pandora Papers, cannot have escaped your attention over the past couple of weeks. Whilst the findings are well documented, in today's podcast, we're going to focus on the role that company data plays in supporting investigative reporting, such as the Pandora Papers investigation. To discuss this, I'm really excited to be joined today by two amazing journalists from the ICIJ, Emilia Deerstruck, who is the data and research editor, and Delphine Reuter, data journalist, both of whom were at the core of the Pandora Papers investigation. So before we get into the detail, can you tell us a bit about yourselves? Emilia, do you want to go first?
Sure. Thanks so much for the invitation, Rebecca. So I'm Emilia Deerstruck, and I have the honor to work with our wonderful data and research team and the editor of our team. And what we do is basically find the best ways in which data and research can help with our reporting. So we find different ways in which we can mine millions of records, and we can also connect those with public information to make our projects powerful. So we can explore systematically stories and see if a system is broken and at what scope, or if what the data tells us about the stories we're telling in our projects. And that serves not only specific stories, but our global network of journalists. In the case of the Pandora Papers, we work with more than 600 journalists in 117 countries.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So Delphine, do you want to introduce yourself as well?
Hi, thanks for having me. So I'm Delphine. I'm part of the amazing data team at ICIJ, full of geeks and crazy people who love data, love spending a lot of time with data. And I'm happy to be here to talk about the investigation and explain a little more in detail how we are in the intersection of reporting and data, and how we can find different ways, sometimes creative ways, to help our reporters and the network of journalists that we work with on every investigation.
Thank you. So how does data, particularly company data in terms of corporate records, aid the investigative efforts and the investigations that you are doing?
Well, corporate data is central to investigations, to ours and to many investigations journalists do, because when you talk about any activity that is happening around the world, usually you have people and companies, and you need to know who is behind those companies to see, for instance, if there was a public contract, you need to know who got that contract. So is there any conflict of interest or not? Who is that person? Is this someone who has been investigated or not? And you can actually explore corporate data at systemic level. So we like to do that in our team too. So you can see what are the global trends around the world, who are the key people behind those companies. And sometimes you also discover shell companies, what companies don't tell you. So when you don't know who is behind those companies, and what can you do then to follow transactions and to follow operations and activities that could be behind those companies. Sometimes companies can be used for money laundering operations. Sometimes companies have been used to receive payments from bribes. So for us, it's central to see who's behind those companies so we can detect potential wrongdoing, patterns, conflict of interest, how transparent are politicians, for instance, or contractors or other people who are part of society are being about their activities, and if they are paying or not their taxes. There are many components that are added to the reporting level, but the company data is a great starting point to know addresses connected to those companies and who is behind those. And there are many challenges that we will probably discover when we start exploring company data. Not everything is there, and the quality of the data that we find across countries varies a lot, but it's central for investigative journalists and for projects like the one we just did, like the Pandora Papers.
And that neatly goes on to my next question, which is, Delphine, at a high level, what role did company data and open corporates play in the Pandora Paper investigation?
So as part of the Pandora Papers, one of the things that we did was we took some of the data that we had from the Panama Papers. So the Panama Papers were, a lot of the companies that we had in the Panama Papers were Panamanian companies, and we extracted the names of those companies from the data that we had from the Panama Papers, and we queried, so we used this data to query it against the Panamanian companies listed in the Open Corporates data. And by matching those two data sets, we used Jupyter Notebook to like write some Python script, and we're able to use the API that Open Corporates has put in place for that purpose and other purposes as well. So we used the API that Open Corporates put in place, and we were able to match those two data sets. And what we wanted to do was to see where the companies that used to be with Mossack Fonseca, which is the firm at the heart of the Panama Papers, where they went. So what registered agents they moved to after the Panama Papers. We were able to do this with the data from Open Corporates, and we did it twice. So once we queried the data from Open Corporates using the names, and then we queried it again to get the data from the registered agents, which can be two different places because Panamanian data can be quite tricky. It can be listed as an officer or it can be listed as an agent. And then we matched some of this data and we found that more than 100 companies had gone from Mossack Fonseca to one of the firms we had in the Pandora Papers, which is Alcogel. But then there were some limitations in how that worked. But altogether, it was a very interesting process. It took several days because when you have a lot of data to query, and then you have to go through it to see what are the results and to really see what queries were actually correct and you could keep. But it was a very interesting process because we were able to cross-reference two sources to see like the great migrations of Panama Papers companies, basically.
I'm sure there were lots of challenges you found with accessing the company data you need as part of your investigations work. Some of that's not going to be a surprise to a lot of people, but what were the key challenges you faced?
Well, plenty. And actually, it's very interesting because there are a few things tied to challenges when we deal with corporate records and also why we like to use them, because we also use them to validate the information we have. So if we have thousands of companies that were registered in a country, we want to see, is there a data set that allows us to cross-check that information and know, do these companies exist? Were they registered in those days? We try to do that too, but not all countries have that. And not all countries have all the level of information that we need. So we try to find different ways in which we can validate information. There's different levels in quality, and we dealt a lot with some jurisdictions more than others. But for instance, if you want to access information from the British Virgin Islands, they changed their legislation about ultimate beneficial owners, no? After we published the Panama Papers. And great, they're getting information about ultimate beneficial owners. And that we can see from the Pandora Papers, because we actually got a large proportion of beneficial owners tied to the British Virgin Islands because of this change of regulation. They were sending reports to the BVI about who was behind those companies. That data is not public, though. If you want to go to the BVI and access that information, you need to pay and you get very basic data. You could get the status, you could get company name, you could get registration date. So you get very basic data. That's not the only jurisdiction where that happens. There are other jurisdictions where basically you need to pay a lot of money and you don't get information about who is behind a company, nor shareholder or beneficial owner. And in a few occasions, not even the directors. So then the quality varies. And something that I heard from a colleague from Ecuador another the other day who worked with us on the project, which is very telling. Actually, in many of these registries, when you actually want to explore the data, you need to know what you're looking for. Because otherwise, if you want to see, does this politician have a company in Luxembourg, in Seychelles, in Hong Kong, etc., most of the registries don't allow you to search by the name of the person. You actually need to know what company the person is connected to. So even if they have information about who is behind, like their search engines don't make it easy. So they said, well, we went to the Panamanian registry, but we actually only knew what to search for when there was another record that told us we need to look for these companies. Otherwise, we don't know. And the Panamanian registry doesn't provide you beneficial ownership information either. Even though there's public data, if you were to start an investigation from scratch and you don't have a leak, you either need to find other records corporate records, no, but like court records and see, oh, that company was mentioned in a court record, is tied to this person. Let me search in the public registry. But otherwise, all those registries that don't offer you the possibility of doing different advanced searches and get all the companies tied to a name, they make it harder for the research. And then there were challenges that Dauphine already mentioned, when you have like this kind of shell game when a company is owned by another company. So sometimes you even have like, yeah, a nominee shareholder or a UBO that is not really the UBO because it's another company that then is owned by another. And then like to really know who is behind a company can be an interesting task. So those are some of the challenges. And I think the power of like the collaboration helps us mine and overcome those challenges. Also technology, we try to automate as much as possible on how we can search and use engines that allow us to smartly explore data, but it's kind of like you need to know how to navigate each corporate record and each registry in different parts of the world because they don't work the same way either. It's kind of mastering the art of traveling the world through corporate records and then finding them. And that's when they are online, because if they are offline, then we need our reporters to go to the corporate records and find the information that is on paper when it's around. So there are many challenges in terms of quality. And I think the power of a team allows us to overcome those, and also technology and great resources to just mine them in an efficient way. But sometimes there's some ways in which you can get more than what they offer you. And with the power of additional records leaks and other public records, you can make sense of those. Otherwise, they are there, but they're not adding much.
That is really where Open Corporate's mission comes from, is to bring all of those registries together in one place and allow them to be searchable. Because as you said, when they're in individual silos at individual state or country level, you can't cross-compare them, and neither can you search by address or by director. As you said, many registries don't allow that. So that's really where Open Corporates tries to really provide that public interest website so that everyone can look and search the data rather than just those who can pay for it from a data provider. Dauphine, from your point of view, what challenges do you also see?
There are so many challenges depending on the country where we look. I'm Belgian, so I think that the Belgian company registry, for example, can be very tricky because you need to know, as Amy said, what you are looking for. It's very difficult to look for a person's name, or, I mean, you can do it, but then you have to use it in a certain way to make sure that you query the database in a certain way. A lot of people don't really have the basic means to, they don't have like the background to know exactly how the database is constructed and how you're supposed to use queries. And what I like about Open Corporates is that the search bar, it's so easy, you know, you can just look for so much information in the same field and you don't have to really think about what field you need to use and go back. Because as researchers and journalists, I mean, we like to go back and query again. And if it doesn't work, we'll try the next day, maybe because they're updating the database. So we are kind of used to different tricks to see how database work and try to make it work to our advantage in some ways. And then if we can't access database in the country, because maybe you need to have like an ID number from that country or something very strange that should not exist in the first place to access the information, we can rely on our network of partners who in specific countries can access this information and share it with us. But citizens, a lot of them just will never get the same type of access. And I think a lot of these databases are constructed in a way where it's really the information about the company that is centric, and that they don't really think about all the information around this company. They don't really think about how to make that searchable by using specific queries. As Emilia said, it's like, you need to know the company name. You need to know what you're looking for so that you can look for it, which doesn't make sense at all for access to information. So this is definitely the biggest issue. And then the second issue, I would say, some corporate registries will say that they're becoming more transparent. But then as we go back over the years, we can see that they sometimes make it trickier. They can remove the information. So you cannot make like historical searches. You can only look for the name that the company has now. But if you have the name of the company that it used to have, you can't search with that. They just make it so, so difficult for a lot of people to access the information. to me, it goes against all types of freedom. You should be able to access the information because it's a basic right that citizens should have. So all these blocks that are put in place for citizens not to access this information is to me a total denial of basic rights to citizens.
So if you could change one thing, you had a magic wand about the state of access to company data that would really help your investigations, what would that be and why?
I will give one and so the thing can say another one. No, I would change a few things, but do I have bonus points if I say more? Okay, but well, no, something central, I think, and that we're still missing in many corporate records is beneficial ownership information. I think that should be open everywhere. So I think that would be first step. There are other things that we have talked about, the challenge that would make it simpler. But I will let Delphine continue because I use my bonus point of one and then I can add more if we have time.
To me, the biggest block that we have that I would like to change is making all this data free of access. You should not have to pay for this data because a lot of people will see that they need to pay and they either will say that they don't choose to pay and move on, or they will not have the means to pay depending on how expensive it is. And some of this information is really, really basic. And then you have to pay, I don't know, $30 for a document that doesn't tell you much. So there's like this promise of, if you pay this, we will provide you with a service. And then once you pay and you get this information, you don't know anything really interesting about the company anyways. It's a total, it's not a very good selling point, you know, if you have a high price tag attached to company information, at least, you know, it should give you something in return. And I think that this is something that should not exist anymore. It should not be run by private companies. There should not be any profit analysis of how much profit you can make from selling this information to people. It should just be readily available because this is information that is central to the life of many people. You shouldn't have to pay for it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Can you get an extra wish?
Absolutely. Amelia, go for it.
No, I would say in terms of format and accessibility, so make the possibility to download data so you can actually do proper analysis of corporate registries in different parts of the world, have APIs, and also have advanced search functions, as we were talking, which is all makes the experience, the user experience, much better for anyone who wants to explore and mine data tied to corporate records.
That's a great point. From your experience, what advice would you give to any journalists who want to get started using open corporates and company data in their investigation?
So you can use company data in any type of research. Doesn't really have to be a long-term, very difficult investigation. Anything that's tied to somebody somewhere needing a company for, yeah, as Emmy was saying before, having a contract with a public authority or buying real estate or anything. Like, a lot of people are going to be confronted with the fact that they have to check who owns a company or who used this company at some point, who appears on the documents of the company. They might not own the company, somebody else might, but they appear at some point on the registries of the company, the registers of shareholders or directors. And this connection makes it very, very important for the research. So my advice would be, for anybody who's not familiar with using company data, I would actually tell them to use Open Corporates first, because it's a good entry point to the crazy world that can be company registries, because it's kind of the Wild West with the different countries using different systems. And it's easier to see how Open Corporate is actually presenting the information. So it's like, what should you be able to expect from a company registry? And then when you confront it to the real thing, so to speak, the really bad state of the company registry, then you're kind of more familiar with like how the information is structured, how you should be able to access the information you're looking for. So that would be my advice.
Great, thanks. Amelia?
Yes, I totally agree with Delphine that starting with engines like Open Corporates that have aggregate data, all the data together, searchable in a friendly format, or our offshore leaks data that also has information about companies and then go from there to the records is a great beginning. I have a plus also advice, which is not on corporate records itself, but when you are investigating, is how do you find connections with these companies? Sometimes you need to know what to look for. So learn a bit more. And there are wonderful organizations that provide training on how to use public records online. So we'll encourage, like, for journalists like GIGN, IRE, and many others that provide this kind of training. Because then something that is central is to know where to find additional information. So how to find court records in different parts of the world. And then you will have companies there. And then from those companies, then you go to corporate records and find additional information. What can I learn about those companies? You can also find, for instance, contractors' data is wonderful to then connect with corporate records. And then who are the biggest contractors in your country? Who is getting the contracts for, like, the highway and then, or any construction in your country? So there are great databases, not everywhere, but that would allow you to find starting corporate names or corporate information that could be relevant to find a story. And then from there, go to corporate records in different parts of the world to mine that data and connect the dots. Sometimes you start with the corporate data. Sometimes you start with other public data and connect the dots with corporate data. So that would be my bonus advice. But yeah, I totally agree with what Delphine said of, like, using smart engines for searching corporate data can be a lifesaver. So thanks so much for having them.
Thank you very much. It's a real shame because that's all we've got time for today. I've had a great time chatting to you too. Thank you both for coming on and speaking with us. Thank you to everyone at home for listening as well. I hope you found it useful.